there but pure soil. And as your plants begin to grow, you wait, you mark it. The first time you get a shower of rain, all of a sudden, here comes a weed. Most of the time, it's in a place where you never thought it would come up because you thought you did so well cultivating that ground. Right there in the midst of your perfect plot comes the weed. Church, no matter how well we think we're doing, the weed seed's still there. Now, this is the sad part. You just let a shower of rain come. You let the Spirit of God flow on your soul. And you just wait. You just mark it. Here come a weed. What is that? That's the test that always comes. In this world, you'll have tribulation. In this world, you'll be tested. You'll be tried. And even though God is pouring out a spirit, right after he does that will come the test. Here will come the weed. Now, when I was on top of my garden, what did I do? I immediately went right out there, plucked up that weed, and threw it off in the grass. No weeds coming in my garden. But when I began to neglect my garden, before I could even turn around, I look out there, and there are weeds everywhere. We got to be careful, church, because we can neglect our salvation. And we can neglect our cultivating of our salvation. And you can rest assured, mark it down, the weeds will grow. And they will grow large if we don't do something about it. I have found in gardening that it's easier to go pull a weed out that's this tall than to wait and let it get this tall. You know what I've noticed about most weeds? They got thorns on them. It's to keep you from pulling them up and taking a hold of them. See, when a weed is small, they don't have the thorns. And it doesn't have the root system. There are certain weeds, when you pull them right up immediately, when you see them come up 3 inches tall, you pull them right up and all you see is a tap root. You let them go a couple weeks, they get up here this tall, and you go to pulling that thing up, you find it's got runners going almost halfway across the garden. Whoa. What I'm trying to share with us here this morning, the longer you leave weeds in your life, the stronger they'll hold on to you and the more effort it's going to take to get them pulled out of your life. Hallelujah. Then this one is what I really want you to know, but they are pullable. They are removable. Hallelujah. Because there's power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our scripture this morning that we want to start out with, and I realize I've already been preaching to you here for several minutes, amen, so you can just remain seated because we've already moved into the preaching mode, but it's found in Amos chapter 3 and verse number 3, a portion of scripture that I've come across in my Christian life that I have grabbed a hold of, because to me it's a correlation with John 3:16. And Amos 3 and 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Amen. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever would call on his name would be saved. Hallelujah. And this correlates with it because when I'm saved, I can walk with God. I can walk together with God. I can be in a oneness with God. And so cultivating your spiritual life is walking with God. Now, I realize that Paul made this statement through his writings. He made this statement, and sometimes it's hard to understand unless you begin to realize the difference between living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. Because Paul said, if you live in the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. So it's two things. Living in the Spirit is acknowledging the Spirit of God, allowing the Spirit of God to help you in your time of trouble. But walking in the Spirit is giving Him full control in your everyday doings, in your everyday mundane, exciting, boring, whatever it may be, life. Whether things are going well or whether things are going awry, walking in the Spirit is allowing the Spirit of God to give you that wisdom, that unction, that understanding of how I need to operate in the day that has been given me. Remember, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it, but that doesn't mean everything's going great. But it means I will rejoice and be glad in it because I realize it's a day that the Lord hath made, and it's a day He's given unto me. And so then I am going to allow Him to help me make the best of that day. Cultivating that presence of God, cultivating the companionship of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now the word cultivating, in the crop sense, means prepare or to use land for crops or gardening. Synonyms of such as till, plow, dig, hoe, farm work, fertilize, mulch, weed. Amen. To break up the soil in preparation for sowing or planting. The second definition is try to acquire or develop a quality or a sentiment or a skill. To try to win the friendship or favor of someone. So we're seeing here then cultivating is something that I have to put effort into. So sad, but so many accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they never cultivate a relationship with Him. Because when we begin to cultivate a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is when our lives begin to transform and our lives begin to change. Hallelujah. Our attitudes begin to, everything about us begins to change. Because as we cultivate this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we begin to see our desperate need for more of Him in our lives. Amen. And so we see here, I've got some points I want to share with us about things that we need to cultivate that will enhance and empower and bring us into a better life that Jesus Christ died for. Do you realize this morning that when Christ died on the cross of Calvary, He died that so every human being on the face of the earth could have forgiveness of sins and enter into an abundant, victorious Christian life. That's what He died for. But I've realized in my personal life, and I've realized as I've pastored for years, that not everybody realizes that. And we then set guidelines or our own standards of what we think we can rise to. The proverbial, I can't. I can't. I can't. Well, I can't change that. That's just the way I've been all my life. Well, if you'll begin to cultivate your relationship with Jesus Christ, you will begin to find you can. You can. Because it's just that matter of giving myself to Him so that He can begin to change me. The only reason I cannot change is because I will not give myself to Him to allow Him to change me. Amen. So the first thing I want to speak about, or not the first thing, actually my first point, because I've been speaking to you now for about 10 minutes or better. Amen. But my first point this morning is cultivating the Spirit's companionship. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, these are just names of the third person of God. And He is the Comforter. He's a person, and thus there can be a relationship with Him. A communication with Him. But this is something that I must cultivate in my life. I must put forth the effort to allow Him to be my companion. To realize that He is not just a magical, mystical something in the air, but that He is the third person of the Trinity. He is the representative of God the Father and God the Son right here on the face of the earth. And He wants to dwell inside of me. And He wants me to then begin to cultivate companionship with Him. Talk it over with Him all the time. Hallelujah. Building that relationship with the Holy Ghost of God. Cultivating, once again, that cultivating is pulling weeds. That cultivating is breaking up the ground. That cultivating is the efforts I put forth to allow the Spirit of God to fill me. Now, number one here, or another thought here this morning, I hate to go into the number thing because I got numbers all over my notes. So another thought here is, number one, you got to be born again by the Spirit of God before you can ever cultivate any type of relationship with God. You must be born again by the Spirit of God. See, this is why Jesus told Nicodemus that, because Nicodemus was trying to find out all kinds of information so that he could just put information into action into his life. And Jesus just really just cut it right to the point. Nicodemus, it's not about getting all the knowledge about God there is. It's about being born again by the Spirit of God, so that when you do get knowledge from God, it will be put in its proper perspective as received from God and not self-righteousness. Now, you know, if we would admit it, a lot of times we put a lot of confidence on what we think we have done for God. We justify a lot of our wrongdoing as human beings by areas we've done right in. But all that shows forth is that I am not cultivating my relationship with God. Because if I'm cultivating that relationship, I realize real quick that all my righteousness is as filthy rags. But I want to throw this in here. God wants all your filthy rags. He wants righteousness in your life, but He wants you to keep understanding that that righteousness of your own is filthy rags, and the righteousness that God sees is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Keeping the proper perspective on my righteousness, knowing that God wants it, but knowing that it will not be there without cultivating that relationship with God. We can all rise and do something good from time to time without the Spirit of God. There are multitudes of human beings on the face of this earth that do great and good things, but they're not born again by the Spirit of God. They're not the Spirit of God, and they're not serving God. They're just doing good things. It's always okay to do good things, but you got to know in whom you have believed. That comes from being born again by the Spirit of God. Now, if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, once again, you're going to have some difficulties cultivating your relationship with God. You'll only have bits and parts, and thus the full fruitfulness of life will not be there, because it takes the Spirit of God to bring forth the fullness of Jesus Christ in our lives, not just part of Him. Have you ever found yourself looking at the fruit of the Spirit and picking out the ones you think you have? As human beings, we do that. You know, whether the fruit of the Spirit, and we read through them and say, well, you know, yeah, I got this one. Yeah, I'm working on that one. Yeah, and And so we're not realizing that it says fruit, not fruits. It's one fruit. And that one fruit consists of all that. It's kind of like the Trinity. It's one God. But it consists of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But it's God, not gods. And so the fruit of the Spirit is not fruits of the Spirit. It is the Spirit of God. And this is what happens when He's there. Hello. Praise our God. So cultivating is realizing that I am lacking. So then I'm lacking. What I'm lacking on is my relationship with the Spirit of God. And I've got to cultivate that. Now, these are steps. I've got to realize who He is, and that I've got to cultivate this companionship and this relationship. Number two, Romans 15 and 6, it says that ye may be one mind and one mouth, glorifying God, even the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. John 7 and 37, it says, in that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. To cultivate my relationship with the Spirit of God, which just means I'm cultivating my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm cultivating my relationship with God the Father, because they're all in unity. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, is the representative here right now that moves and works in our hearts and our lives. It reveals Jesus Christ. So to cultivate that relationship, Jesus, it's going to have to be glorified. I'm going to have to purpose in my heart to bring glory unto God, honor unto God, magnifying, extolling, not just with the fruit of my lips, with the actions of my life to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, if we dedicate ourselves to glorifying of Jesus, the Holy Ghost will then become the aggressor. And He will begin to seek to know us and to lift us up and to illuminate us and fill us and bless us. If we begin to purpose in our heart to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ, then the Holy Ghost will automatically, if you will, come and become the aggressor. In other words, the mover, the force, the wind blowing, the power falling, the love engulfing. Why? Because He's the desire of our heart to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. Thus, He begins to move to help us do that. It's kind of like action, reaction. When the Spirit of God sees the desire of the heart, the hungering and the thirsting, if any man thirst, realizing who our help comes from, realizing who is the only one that is worthy of all praise, glory, and honor, and that I give myself to Him, then the Holy Ghost comes right in there to lift me up, empower me to continue that process. Jesus said, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock, the door shall be open. What is that? Revealing of the desire of my heart in my actions. See, if I want to live for God, the desire in my heart will produce effort to see it happen. But if I don't want to live for God, the actions of my life will show forth the desire of my heart. I will not put forth the effort for it to happen. You'll have to search long and high to find out or find a place where you don't have a part in your walk with God, and you don't have a part in your salvation. It's not automatic. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. But whosoever shall call on His name, the stipulation, the choice, the desire. You can live a victorious life, but whosoever will not call on his name will not lead a victorious life. It's just the reality of the action reaction. If I put forth that step of faith, then that faith will be seen, that faith will be honored, and the Holy Ghost will be right there to empower me to act upon that faith. Amen. I mean, it's just the way the kingdom of God operates and works. So now we've got to cultivate the Spirit's companionship, realize who he is and that he's a person that we can build that relationship with. And the way we begin to build that relationship with the Spirit of God is to have the mind frame of glorifying God, having the heart desire of glorifying God. Psalms 25 and 10 says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. I've got to cultivate God's holy way. It doesn't just come automatically into my life because I've been saved. It doesn't just come automatically into my life because I've been filled with the Spirit of God. I've got to cultivate righteousness in my life. Now we're to the weed pulling point. The reality of weeds in my life. The reality of wrong in my life. The unrighteousness that comes from my life. I've got to realize that, and then I've got to begin to cultivate. What is that? I've got to realize where the weeds are and begin to take forth the efforts to get them removed from my habits of life. Now, it's been said different times, and possibly many times, the way to get rid of an old habit is to create a new habit. Most of the time, we desire for the old habit just to be gone. But we find it never leaves. And so now we've got to realize to get an old habit gone, I must create a new habit in its place. So when I would go to the old habit, I start going to the new habit instead of the old habit. See, I've got something now to go to besides what I used to go to. You create a new habit. Amen. How many remember that little story? And I can't remember which writer it was. It was very humorous. But he had been teaching about denying yourself and denying your flesh. And he stepped in the shower one morning and he looked at the knob that says hot and cold. And he just cranked her all the way over to cold and pulled her out. And that cold water just hit his body. And he said, take that, flesh. You know, we think that's humorous, but you would be surprised how that might start your day of self-denial. Just a small little humorous act, but it was an act with the mind frame, flesh has got to die today. And here's your start. Oh, wow. That's, I'm pretty sure it would be a memorable moment. Amen. And start you on a path of realizing. Because you would be surprised how much that would just bring a satisfaction to the new man. To see that type of, because there ain't too many folks I know that wants a cold blast of cold water on a cold morning. Hello? Amen. But that effort, that cultivating the holy ways of God, that cultivating the righteousness of God. In Titus chapter 2, verse number 11, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. And everybody said amen and began to rejoice and praise God. And now we'll read verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly right now in this present world. Amen. See, that's what the grace of God teaches. So if you're being taught something besides that, it ain't the grace of God coming your way. The grace of God that comes our way begins to teach us. And he comes to us on our level. See, you and I are three-dimensional creatures. God has four dimensions. The breadth, the length, the depth, the height. We have three. That's all we have right now. When you get to heaven and I get to heaven, we're going to get the fourth dimension. Ooh, praise God. Hallelujah. But right now we operate on three dimensions. And if you will, here's the three that we operate on. Soberly deals with us. Our personal life, our personal wants, our personal desire. Soberly, in other words, thinking straight about us. And then righteously, that deals with others. See, righteousness always deals with others. Righteousness very rarely deals with you. That's going to fall under the category of thinking soberly. Dealing with yourself, being true to yourself, honest with yourself. Even though honesty is righteousness, when it's your personal dealing with being honest with yourself, is righteousness on your part. But when the Bible talks about righteousness and living righteously, it deals with those that are around you. In other words, do unto others as they did unto you. And everybody almost said amen. Doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. Treating people the way you would like to be treated. And I have found in a lot of circumstances, most people act out because how they were treated. But they never get a grip on how they treat other people. They just always get mad when other people treat them that way. But then they don't realize they'll turn right around and treat other people that way. They don't like it when they get treated that way, but they don't have a problem treating people that way. This is righteousness. Righteously. Right now. Are you getting the picture here? I've got to cultivate this. This does not come automatically just because you've been saved, just because you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. It has to be cultivated. That garden won't grow just automatically without weeds. Your spiritual life won't just grow automatically without weeds. You see, what it is my spiritual life begins to grow, that's when the weeds begin to show up, because before, I never saw the weeds in my life until grace began to move in my life. That word of God began to move in my life. And the third dimension is godly, soberly, righteously, godly. That talks about my relationship with God and my reflection of God and my intimacy with God and God living in me and me then portraying God likeness. You see, the only people who will know that's happening is God and other people. You'll actually be oblivious to most of it because you're just desiring to live soberly and righteously. And when you're pressing towards soberly and righteously, you're automatically doing the godly, the third dimension. Isn't that just like God? Is that not first and greatest commandments? Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Two. You just have two commandments to keep. If we don't keep the first one, there'll be no hope for the second one. If we don't cultivate, I trust I'm getting this across this morning. It's going to take work. It's going to take effort, hallelujah, to cultivate this relationship with the Spirit of God, thus cultivating my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father. It just goes right up the scale there. And so we see then these are the things. After all, he is called the Holy Ghost. And if I walk in an unholy way, I cannot have fellowship with him. I mean, kind of put it in a realm here If you're always in the habit of offending someone, do you think that someone's going to want to be around you? You know, if all you do is down and complain and gripe and belittle, and do you think people are going to want to be around you and be companions of you? Well, the Holy Ghost doesn't want to be around unholiness. But you see, then if we begin to realize the weed that has come up, and we begin to put forth the effort to pluck it out, cultivating prayer, cultivating acknowledging, cultivating realizing what's going on, and not try to just push it aside. Have you ever noticed that you can cover up a weed with a pile of dirt and just cover it up? Think you got it? It's so frustrating. A lot of times we'd cultivate out in the fields and we'd think we got the weeds because we take and plow right in between the rows of the crops, and it would throw the dirt over on top of some of the weeds. But if some of the weeds were too big, they become invisible for a little while, but wouldn't take long, and right there they are again. I guess I've just experienced this a lot. You can go out and work in a field, but if the weed becomes too big, your piece of equipment will not destroy it well enough to eliminate it. And then you have to take extra means if you want the weed to be gone. And I literally had to do this one time. Had to go out in the middle of a 30-acre field and walk around pulling up all the weeds that the implement had missed. I had to do it manually. I had to walk, put forth the effort, and put forth the muscles to pull out those weeds that the natural process missed. Praise God. You see, this next one is really kind of different, but it's really true. Psalms 139:23, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. See, I've got to cultivate decorating my sanctuary. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. What kind of decorations do you have on the inside of your temple? What kind of decorations do you have in your sanctuary? Notice in this scripture, know my thoughts. You know, a lot of times we have deceived ourselves on a truth, but because of deception, we don't really heed that truth. Now, the truth that I'm talking about is the fact that just having a thought does not constitute sin. And if we just leave it like that, we never pay a bit of attention to what we think about. But what we have to realize is whatever we're thinking about all the time is going to direct our paths. And so the other side of that coin, no, a thought is not a sin, but if you leave it there, it will definitely become one. Just like a weed seed is not a weed. But you leave it there, and guess what it's going to become? A weed. So a thought is not a sin, but if you leave that thought there, that is a sinful thought, it will become sin. And so we want to begin to decorate our sanctuary with pure thoughts, righteous thoughts, clean thoughts. Think on these things. Hallelujah. When you're in the middle of a temptation, are you thinking about the temptation? Are you thinking about God's word? Are you thinking about running for help? Or are you thinking about running to the sin? See, it's all within your thought pattern. And if you got thoughts that are trying to lead you the wrong way, then it's time to change your mind. Renew your mind in God's Word. Renew and cultivate your companionship and your relationship with the Holy Ghost. This is why so many, quote unquote, Holy Ghost filled believers fall by the wayside, because they are not cultivating their relationship with the Spirit of God. And thus they're not led by the Spirit of God. They're not walking in the Spirit of God. And they are not overcoming by the power of the Spirit of God. They're wishful thinking that they're going to be victorious without the effort it takes to do battle. God of heaven, we're living in perilous times. This mentality has crept into the church world. Getting something for nothing. Now, to clarify that, I realize our salvation is a free gift, but you've got to realize it cost Jesus Christ his life. So it wasn't actually something for nothing. It cost greatly. When we keep that in mind and we receive that gift of salvation, we will not take it for granted. That it's a freebie. That it's a free ride. I get everything provided for me. Well, even though in a sense he will take care of us, but not if we neglect so great a salvation. Not if we do not cultivate and fulfill our part of the gift we received. Put it to you like this. Someone gave you a beautiful plant for Christmas. You loved it. It's the most beautiful plant you've ever seen. You set it up in your window so it gets sunlight. But you never go back and give it any water. Oh, it'll be okay. It's beautiful. Well, it's getting a little something's happening to it. But you never give it water. What's going to happen to it if you neglect it? It's going to die. What's going to happen to us as believers filled with the Holy Ghost if we neglect cultivating our relationship with God? We're going to die. What are symptoms of death? Well, failing. Not being righteous, not being holy, not being victorious are symptoms that we're neglecting our salvation. We're neglecting our relationship. We're neglecting cultivating the presence of God in our lives. And so the decorations of our sanctuary are our thoughts. If our thoughts are unholy, so is our sanctuary. Oh, but it's not sin. You're absolutely correct. But it's not holiness either, is it? So which do you want? A gray, shadowy area that you can get away with things in? Or the holiness of God that he has provided so graciously? Amen. You see, we got to cultivate. We've got to work at this. Psalms 119, 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. Wow. What is that? Well, that is an individual that is bent and determined to cultivate his relationship with his God. His relationship, in our sense, with the Spirit of God. Amen. It is God's Word. Amen. And in God's Word, we'll find the Holy Ghost. And we're going to find that he wrote it, he inspired it, and he's the one that's going to reveal it. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Now, Sometimes we want God to give us the ear. How many's ever prayed that? Lord, give me an ear. Brother Matthew prayed it this morning. Why? It's a pattern we have. Why? Because we know it's in God's word. And we ask God, Lord, give me an ear to hear. But do you realize that's a prayer he will not answer? Because it is your responsibility, it is my responsibility to have an ear that will hear. Hello. It's called cultivating my relationship with God. If I'm sitting in the house of God and the word of God is being proclaimed and the message of the Lord is being proclaimed and the inspiration is there and the anointing is there, then and I'm not there, then I'm not having an ear to hear. Jim Elliot said, if you're going to be there, be all there. Hallelujah. And so we see that it's in God's word. We have to cultivate God's word into our lives. And in doing this, we find that we will become a performer of the righteous judgments of God, because the Holy Ghost will begin to reveal the weeds so that you and I can begin to pluck them. Wow. Put it to you like this. If the road to the right always leads the wrong way, and the road to the left, and I've reversed it on purpose, the road to the left always leads to the right way, what are you going to do when you come to that fork in the road? Your first response, well, that's, I'm going to go left because that's the way to the right way. Is that what you really do? Because every day of our lives, the road is before us. The race is before us. And if we go one direction, it's going to be the wrong way. And if we go the other direction, it's going to be the right way. And we're the ones who really know which direction is the right way. What are you going to do? This is where God's word and cultivating God's word into my heart, into my mind, into my life. When I come to that crossroads of that day, I choose right. I choose left. I choose the righteous way of God that I have learned in his word. Whoa, hallelujah, our God. What is it? I'm cultivating, I'm doing those things that are necessary to be victorious. If the battle call is given and the soldier arises and he runs into battle but he doesn't have his armor, he doesn't have his weapon, is he going to make it through the battle? How in the world then do we think when we launch into our day with our armor put on that we're going to make it through that day victorious? Cultivating, doing those things, turning on that cold water, take that flesh. Woo! Starting the day with the right attitude, starting the day with a righteous attitude, starting that day knowing today is a day that I must cultivate in my life. There's not one day I have to spare. Has anybody found that eighth day in the week yet? You're not going to find it here on this earth. You might find it in heaven, because that's that eighth day. Well, when you hit that eighth day, it's going to be the eighth day for the rest of your life. When you and I finally enter into that final rest in heaven with the Lord forever. You see, when that eighth day comes, it's going to be the everlasting day. Till then, it's seven, seven, seven. Seven. It's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, give or take a second or two, for you and I to arise and cultivate the presence of God in our lives. Once again, I'm going to close with this. Number 6, Joshua 1 and 9. It says, I have not commanded thee? I just kind of sometimes, you know, your scriptures you've read and read and read and read, and all of a sudden you see something you never saw before, or it never grabbed you that way before. And did you notice, have not I commanded thee? What did he command him? This is the commandment. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. That was a commandment from God. It wasn't a multiple choice question. It was a commandment. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong, be of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Cultivating the presence of God everywhere I go. Because he's going to be with me everywhere I go. Every place I'm at, every day I live, hallelujah, he's not going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me. He is going to be with me. Hebrews 13 and 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Cultivating the presence of God where I go, in my everyday life, in my everyday circumstance, I've got to cultivate that, because things press us, church. They press us. They stress us. They pull on us. But then I've got to cultivate God's presence, the Holy Ghost presence, in those stressful times. Because if I don't, they will overwhelm me. If I don't, they will take me down. If I don't, I will not overcome. So, you see, I've got to begin to realize that my Christian life is a life of cultivating the things of God on a continual basis. You see, it's a never a dull moment, child of God. There is always something that I can do. There are times to rejoice. There are times to weep. There are times to stand up and speak. And there are times to sit down and be quiet. Woo, hallelujah. And it's that Spirit of God that will lead us into the understanding of what I need to do, when I need to do it, how I need to do it. Hallelujah. But it will only happen if I cultivate my relationship with Him, that companionship, that Word of God. My thought life. You see, it's all part of me, of presenting myself that living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. Amen. You see, if I get lazy, and that's exactly what I'll do, is get lazy, I'll quit cultivating. I'll quit doing the little things that help me do better. You see, it's those little things. Now, we've all read there, I think it's in Ecclesiastes, where it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. How many has heard that? If you've been in church for very long, you've heard that. The little foxes spoil the vine. I use that quite often with my math students who leave out a decimal, who leave out a negative sign. You know, when they're dealing in algebra, and in algebra, you got to keep up with all the negatives and all the positives and the parentheses and the brackets. And all of a sudden, they get down to the final answer, and they got all the numbers right, but they lift up that little fox. That negative sign. Well, you see, a lot of times we can come to the end of our day, and our day has not gone well, and we can go back and we can find that it was a little fox of something we neglected when we started our day that led up to the demise of that day. You see, I've got to cultivate my thoughts. I've got to cultivate His presence. In other words, I've got to work at it, church. I've got to make sure He's there. That is one thing in my life that I do not want and I do not like if I can't sense that God is with me. If I can't sense God is with me, I will stop whatever I'm doing. I will get to where He's with me, and I know He's with me. Because that's the kind of relationship He wants with me and with you. That's the kind of relationship He wants with God's children, that we know He is there. Hallelujah. And He is our help, and He is our strength, and He will direct our paths. Hallelujah. Acknowledging Him. knowing, cultivating that presence of God. You see, a lot of times when we fall or have failures, it's after we fall that we realize what we've done. But when I learn to cultivate the presence of God and the Spirit of God in my life, I will have that same guilty feeling before I do it. And I won't. Why? Because I'm cultivating being in His presence, acknowledging His presence, having His presence, being clothed with Christ. It's something I have to press towards. You ever heard that terminology before? Press towards the prize. The high calling of God that is found in Christ Jesus. Amen. It's something I have to press for. If I do nothing, then I will fall. You see, it's really, really, really simple. If I do nothing, then I will die. But if I want life, I have to press. I have to cultivate. I have to Christ, the priority of my life. When I put Him as priority and I put Him first in all things, church, that's when our lives begin to transform miraculously. Because we are cultivating Christ preeminence in our lives. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Amen? But if He is not with me, then there is only place, one place I really need to go, and that's to Him in prayer. Amen? If God be for us, who can be with us, against us? What does that mean? That means if we are cultivating our relationship with God and we are at one with the Lord and we are walking with Him, there is nothing that can stop us from living for Jesus. But if we neglect and we don't cultivate, the weeds will just grow automatically. And all of a sudden we'll look up one day and we'll wonder, how did I get here? Why did this happen? And the only answer that you will be able to come up with is you will have to back up and acknowledge the place where you quit cultivating your relationship with God. And you will have to go back to that place and start now even harder than you ever have before. Why? Because it's became a big weed. And it's going to take more effort to get it pulled out than it would have if I would have been cultivating to begin with. You see, it's not that you're hard on people or critical of people. But we as believers must face the facts. It is not God's will that we be overcome. It is God's will that we overcome. And so if we have been overcome by something of this world, it's because we have neglected what God has provided. And when we will begin to press towards what God has provided and cultivate, then we will be victorious. Am I standing here this afternoon? Yeah, it is afternoon. Am I standing here this afternoon saying that we always will overcome regardless? What I'm saying is we will always overcome if we're cultivating. If we're cultivating. But we will never overcome if we neglect. If we neglect. Stand with me. Cultivating. Simple process. Simple things. Basic things. But you know, I have found in my Christian life that most of the time If I want to see the miraculous things of God, I've got to step back and see if I'm fulfilling the basic things of Christianity. What are those basic things? Humility, prayer, reading God's Word, and being filled with the Spirit of God. The basics of Christianity. Those four things are part of cultivating that presence of God, cultivating that companionship, just getting back to the basics, church, so that I can be strong, victorious, and in a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, bringing glory and honor and praise by how I live my life to Him. Praise our God. Hallelujah. Let's come around these altars here. Let's close with a time of prayer. God of heaven, we have heard your word.
Settle on my soul, sweet
God,
Jesus.
We've heard your message.
Settle down,
Lord,
on
now
me.
It is time for us to
let
become
the
a doer
fall from
of that
my
word.
Face.
A doer of that word.
Feel your mystery.
Lord, we give ourselves into your hands.
Just let me feel your